Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, sometimes a good strum on the guitar makes me think of Arizona. And it makes me think of the Cleveland Indians and spring training. Why do you look at me with such disgust?
Just go to Hoinsie.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we bring in Paul Hoynes, who makes me think of spring training every year. Hi, Hoynesy. How are you?
Hoynesy!
PlainDealerCleveland.com. Read him every
how
day.
How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We're discussing a lot of things. Jeff has this crazy idea for the way the baseball playoffs should look. I'll ask you your opinion on that so you can tell him he's nuts a little bit later, too. But Hoynesy, you know, obviously the Indians are back. Pitchers and catchers. Sounds like 75% of the team is there, considering they don't have to report until Monday. Your thoughts on this season, and, you know, hey, it feels like spring now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting year. You know, obviously the White Sox and Twins have taken a step forward. The Indians, you know, are kind of, you know, in their rebuilding mode, you know, not tanking, but, you know, cutting payroll, being fiscally responsible, but they're still you know, there's still a very competitive team. So it's, you know, all of a sudden the AL Central is no longer the weak. I don't think it's the weakest division in baseball. It's, you know, it could be a three-team race this year.
Well, so you think the Indians are better than they were last year? And I know that sounds preposterous because you started last year with Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer, but they ended up, you know, obviously not doing much and getting traded. And I wonder your thoughts on that.
You know, Jeff, you know, when you think about it, you know, they were struggling, you know, right up until June. And, you know, they started making some, you know, they obviously they got hurt. Their pitching got hurt, you know, and Plesac and Savali came up and Rodriguez helped out as well. And then, you know, Mercado came up. So they got a little younger in different spots. And that's, I think, they started playing better when after they brought those kids up. And so they might be better. I don't know if – are they not – are they a 93-win team like last year? I'm not sure. You know, I think the projections say, you know, 86, 87 wins. But, you know, I think they're a very competitive team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they win 90 games.
Hoynes, we were talking about this yesterday. I think we'll talk about it a little bit later, too. The analytics coming out on the Indians to win 86 games could be one game short of making the playoffs again this year. And does that make you think, and we're going to hear this a little bit later in the show too, because we had the Marlins former president, David Sampson, on, that window about Francisco Lindor and getting rid of him, that maybe that window has already passed and they should have got rid of him by now. Just what are your thoughts on that? Because if the analytics are saying that the Indians probably won't make the playoffs this year, should they have done something in the offseason?
Well, I think, you know, Andy, I think – I think they can take some solace from, you know, what the Red Sox were able to do with Mookie Betts, you know, with the trade they got. You know, they showed you can still get, you know, some decent players back. And I think if the Indians wait until, you know, after this season to trade Lindor, you know, they're not going to have to attach a David Price to Lindor. They're not going to have to dump payroll, and they're not going to have to worry about getting under the luxury tax, Lord knows, because they've never been close to the luxury tax. So, you know, I think they can still get a good return based on, you know, just how competitive they are this year. Now, if they're in the tank, going into July 31st, they've got to trade them. But if they're competitive and they've got a chance to get to the postseason, either through a wild card or the division, I think they won't be burned as much as I thought they'd be burned if they hold on to Lindor.
Paul Hoynes joining us, PlainDealerCleveland.com. Hoynesy, how do you think the Indians want the starting rotation to shake out?
You know, I think it's like this. I think it'll be Now, this is just my opinion, but I think it's going to be Bieber, you know, Clevenger, Carrasco, Plutko, and either Plesak or Savali. I think, you know, those are the guys that they – I think those are, you know, the six guys that are, you know, competing for the five spots. And, you know, Plutko is out of options, obviously, so I don't think they want to lose him. I think he's kind of a valuable guy. He can also go to the bullpen as well. So, you know, I think they've got some flexibility there.
How about Logan Allen and Scott Moss? Are they on the radar, you think, Hoynsie, to be – either guys next year or the year after? Do you think they're major contributors to this rotation?
I think, you know, there's a possibility they could go into the bullpen, those two guys, but I think, you know, they would want, you know, what saved the Indians last year was rotation depth. And, you know, Plesak and Savali weren't even, they were pitching in double A at the start of the year. So I think if Logan, you know, if Logan Allen and Moss, you know, open the year at triple A with, along with Tristan McKenzie, and maybe Savali or Plesak, you know, that's a pretty good rotation, and that's a pretty good, you know, field of depth to draw from. And, you know, when we were talking about this last year, at this time last year, we didn't know, you know, Carrasco would get sick or Clevenger would tear a shoulder muscle, you know, two starts into the season, and Kluber would get hit by a line drive in May. So, you know, you need that, and that saved them last year.
What's the outfield going to look like on this team, Hoynsie?
Your guess is as good as mine. I think, you know, just from listening to Francona at Tribe Fest, you know, saying, you know, I think a lot depends on Reyes, Franmil Reyes. If he can play every day or he's a, you know, semi-regular in right or left field, I think that kind of settles things down, because then you could, you know, maybe played the Shields in center field, and you could bounce Mercado around in all three spots. And you've got plenty of depth with, Luplo and, depending when Naquin gets back. And, you know, you've got a lot of guys. You know, there's a guy I'm really excited to see is Daniel Johnson, to see how he played. He had a great year at Double A and Triple A last year. You know, you've got Greg Allen, Jake Bowers. So you've got a lot of options there.
You didn't mention the name Bradley Zimmer, Paul, and I've been holding my breath for Bradley Zimmer for years. He's now 27. Do you think he's even in the organization at the end of spring training?
Yeah, I think he will, okay. Jeff. Yeah, I think, this is a number one pick. He's got an option. At the end of last season, I think, you know, he kind of made a decision by not going to winter ball. I think the organization wanted him to go to winter ball. He said he was kind of burned out after a year and a half of rehab, wanted to go home and get his head straight. But he's been coming to Cleveland all off season, you know, working on his swing. I know swing camps had helped Mercado so much last year. But I think when he made that decision not to go to winter ball, you know, Francona explained to him that, you know, you need these at-bats, and if you're not going to get them in winter ball, you may have to get them at Triple-A next year at the start of next season. But still, I think Zimmer, if he's healthy, I think he's, you know, he's a great athlete. If he's healthy, he's got to have a good spring. Maybe he can, you know, kind of force himself onto the roster, but I think most likely probably opens the year at Triple-A.
Hoynsie, where does this cheating scandal go from here? What's next? I mean, we were just playing some clips, and what happens? What happens next?
I don't think it ends. You know, Andy, we haven't heard what the commissioner is going to do with Boston. You know,
right.
I would have thought that was coming out before the start of spring training. And I think that's another mushroom cloud. But this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, all of a sudden now, you know, the Wall Street Journal had a story that not only were the Astros using their code breaker, you know, on at home, but also on the road. So, you know, and I always thought, you know, AJ Hinch would get another job, and after a year's suspension, but I don't know if he's ever going to work in baseball again. I really don't. I mean, you know, he basically let it sounds like Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran run the clubhouse. He thought it was wrong, and you know, he thought the cheating thing was wrong, but he never stopped it. I mean, is that what you want from your manager? I don't know. You know, and I like Hinch. I think he's a good manager, but you've got to control the clubhouse too, and you can't just sit there and say, "Boy, this is wrong," and let the whole thing continue.
Well, see, that's to me the strangest part of this whole thing. It didn't seem like Hinch was in, you know, was in on it. Didn't seem like the GM was. Sounds like Brian McCann tried to put an end to it in that Astros clubhouse, and yet it continued. That's weird to me.
Well, you know clubhouses.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's just, you know, if you've got a guy like Beltran in there that's got a lot of respect from all the players, you always hear managers say, I want the players to police the clubhouse. You know, I want to stay out of there as much as possible. And obviously, you know, this guy had so much, just from reading, if this is all correct, you know, this guy had so much influence that he kind of superseded the manager. And the manager obviously was afraid to take him on head to head in fear of losing the clubhouse, you know, and you know, it's a strange back and forth. So if you're going to be a big league manager, you've got a lot of things to juggle, but you've got to control the team. First of all,
Quincy, I think the other part of that, being able to pull it off on the road, to me, the fascinating part about that is, I mean, the clubhouse guys on the road live in the home city. And there's just no way I think you can get away with electronic cheating without a clubhouse guy seeing it. And now those guys aren't going to say anything because that's their livelihood, and I don't blame them for that. But, I mean, every team had to know they were doing this.
Yeah, that's the thing, Andy. You know, now you hear everybody say, we knew this, you know, in 2017. I was talking to Charlie Nagy when he was here, you know, and he said when he was a pitching coach for the Angels in 2017, they knew what was going on. And you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, if you're a pitcher and you know you're playing Houston and you know they're stealing your signs, aren't you going to, like, knock one of these guys down?
I said that to Jeff last week. Same thing. Yeah.
You know, and just say, hey, I know what you're doing. Even if you get kicked out of the game, at least you call their bluff. But nobody wanted to do that.
And why?
Is that how much baseball has changed? I mean, I know the rules, you know, they protect the hitters now, and the umpires can throw a pitcher out whenever possible. But, you know, that's crazy. I mean, if you knew what was going on, you know, do something about it. Do you think, like, Sam McDowell would have done? What would he have done? I mean,
what would Feller have done? Are you kidding? Feller would have just started throwing balls into the other dugout.
I mean, yeah, and it's just, you know, sometimes I don't know. I can't go along with that. You know, if you knew something was going on, you know, kind of take control of it. If you get kicked out of a game, so what?
Jason Kipnis goes to the Cubs minor league deal. Are the Indians okay with Cesar Hernandez at second base at least for a year, Hoynsie?
Oh yeah, I think so. Definitely. You know, I love Kipnis, but you know, if you look at his, you know, since 2016, his production, his games played have dropped. Physically, he's had trouble getting back on the field. You know, Cesar Hernandez played, what, 157 games last year. I think he played maybe 157 starts at second base. You know, he's I think you could hit him lead off. You get him down in the order. He's a switch hitter, a good defender. I think this is a solid. This is an upgrade, as much as I like Kipnis.
Hoynsie, thank you very much. We look forward to all your spring training reports, Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Paul Hoynes. And if you missed any of the interview, go to radio.com and hit that Radio Rewind app. Of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.